Welcome to episode 64 of the Speak On It podcast, hosted by your boy T-Lip. What up, dawg? What's happening? Hey, man. It's been a lot of eventful things going on this weekend, man. It was some spooky things went on down there in Dallas, man. I don't know about them refs and that whole reffing. It was some very spooky things. They might have cost the Detroit Lions a game, man. We're going to jump into that. There were some things that happened over there in Baltimore, man. Baltimore, you walk into that stadium, you might get trapped in there. How they be playing, how they flying around, how they playing. There were some division spots clinched today. The Rams have solidified themselves a spot in the playoffs. There was teams eliminated from the playoff hunt. The Bengals were eliminated from the playoff hunt today. The Seahawks were eliminated from the playoff hunt today. There were some things going on. So without further ado, man, we're going to jump straight into it. First, we're going to start talking about the Dallas and the Detroit game, man. Saturday night, primetime football. Obviously, Dallas won 20-19. But if you watch the game, you know they got cheated, man. Come on, man. On the last play with the, Decker checked in with the ref. Like, why else would an offensive lineman go up to the ref and tell him? Like, why else, if it ain't like I'm letting them know that, hey, they holding or hey, they pulling me or hey, they doing this, why else would an offensive lineman be walking up to the ref? Basically, to let him know that he's checking in and he's an eligible receiver. That's what happened. You see it on film. That's exactly what happened. The ref was right there. He seen it. He communicated with him. But then he said he didn't check in. I don't know what was going on with that ref and crew, but obviously they just lost their playoff jobs. They will not be reffing. His whole reffing squad will not be reffing in the playoffs. And just a bad way to lose the game, man. Just a bad way to lose the game. They was literally made the 2-point. They drove the ball down at the end of the game, scored. It was 19-20. Dan Campbell went for the two. Then that's when they called the play. They said he didn't check himself eligible in, and that's what happened. Then they go for it again from the 6-yard line, which I feel like Dan Campbell should have definitely kicked the field goal right there. Okay, like you ran a play, it worked, but they called it back. You feel me? I know you told them that you was always going for it no matter what, but you got to adjust on the fly. At that point, it's a low-scoring game. The game is what, 20-19. It's a low-scoring game. It's a defensive game. So it's like you roll the dice out there and give your team another chance. Kick it. Go into overtime. Now let's see how overtimes happen. Who knows? Dak might throw a pick. He might go throw a 3-and-out. Who knows? Jared Goff might do it, but you just give your team another chance to play. You give your team another chance to compete and win that game. He goes for the two again. It's another flag. What was it? Offsides? I think it was offsides on the defense. So now you literally have another chance from the 3-yard line. 3 2-point conversions in a row. He went for it again on the third one. After they didn't gave him another chance to kick the field goal, he went for it again. And it's just like, man, come on, bro. I just kind of thought that was selfish. I just kind of thought that was a very emotional judgment. That was an emotional call that he was doing. And I understand, you know, Dan Campbell was fully emotional. That was my coach when I played for Miami. I understand his fire, you know, his passion. But you got to be intelligent at that moment right there. You just got to, man, just go ahead and kick the field goal, go in overtime, and let's fight for 10 more minutes. Like, the game was slow. No offenses really was doing anything crazy. But, you know, CeeDee Lamb was balling out. But besides CeeDee Lamb, like I said, the score was 20-19. So it wasn't like it was 35-38. You feel me? It was a low-scoring game, a defensive game. So you should have gave your team another chance right there. That's what I feel like. But he didn't. They didn't make neither one of the 2-point conversions. And basically after that, the game was over. I just don't rock with that, man. Jared Goff threw two interceptions. You can't turn the ball over on the road. You threw two of them. You cannot turn the ball over on the road. You threw a screen. Like, it looked like, you know, Jordan Lewis. That great play, Jordan Lewis, JD. That was a great play on that screen, bro. Like, you could tell you watched film on that. You peeped the tendency. You seen something where you like, okay, I see these linemen kind of lagging out here. I see the running back kind of acting like he running a flare route, but he not. And he jumped it. And that's what playmakers do, man. That's a great play by JD to pick that ball off. Who else caught a pick? Wilson that caught a pick as well. Like I said, man, that was a good game by far. But the refs cheated the Lions out of that game. The Lions could have potentially had the one seed, you know, if they would have won yesterday. And at least they would have at least had the two seed. And it kind of messed them up. Now they're the three seed right now. Now they're going to be like the damn near guaranteed three seed as well, because the 49ers clinched the one seed spot for good. They probably not going to play Purdy next week. They're not going to play Christian McCaffrey next week. They're not going to play Trent Williams next week. It's going to be some guys that's not going to play next week. Fred Warner probably not going to play because they don't need to play. They already clinched the one seed, and they're going to have a bye week. So they'll probably have 2 weeks off before they play again, which is great. And they aiming for a great Super Bowl run. We're going to see how that turns out. But the Cowboys are now in the two seed right now because the Eagles lost today to the Cardinals, which was an upset. Cardinals traveled all the way to the East Coast in the cold, in the rain, Philly weather conditions today, and won. Came back down from 21-6, scored 29 points in the second half to win the game. Kyler Murray, get him some weapons. He can show you what he can do. The Cardinals need to go ahead and sign Waddle from Miami. They need to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Sign a Waddle or a Michael Pittman or a T. Higgins. Sign a quality running back. I ain't going to say quality running back because James Conner been running the ball. I think he's a quality running back, especially when you have two legitimate wide receiver threats on the outside. They got to match the intensity of the 49ers. They got to match the offensive firepower that the 49ers have. And I would say the Seahawks have, but they haven't put it together quite yet. They just lost to the Steelers today. At home, like, you can't lose in your own backyard to the Steelers playing a quarterback that's – this is his second start this year. I expect Geno Smith to win that game. I expect, you know, the Seahawks was fully healthy today. They had all their guys, Metcalf, Njigba, Lockett, Kenneth Walker, the backup running back, their offensive line, and their quarterback. You supposed to win that game, but they didn't. But this Cowboys and this Lions game was a good game. The refs kind of cheated the Lions at the end, but I think Dan Campbell should have kicked the field goal and just took it in overtime and seen what happened. Give your team a couple more possessions to see what happened, and that's what it should have been. But it is what it is, you know. Chances make champions. I'm not mad at his call. I think he made some up and down calls, but I'm not mad at it because that's his DNA, and that's the, you know, the spirit of that Detroit Lions team. But we're going to see what happened in the playoffs, man. Moving on from that. No, first off, let me scoot back a little bit. CeeDee Lamb went off. He had 13 catches for 227 yards, one touchdown, a 92-yard bomb down the field, catch and run. CeeDee Lamb low-key snapping this year. I had my remarks on CeeDee Lamb because I was always like, man, I think they're only like six to seven number one wide receivers in the league, and I didn't have him as one of them six or seven. I mean, shit, he got 1,600 yards this year, man. He's balling out. He broke the Cowboys' receiving record, the catches record. He been doing his thing, man, so you can't be mad at what he's doing, man. He definitely put up number one numbers this year. You go into playing the Cowboys, you're like, hey, we got to stop 88. Every week, hey, we got to stop 88. Hey, we got to contain 88. And he's been balling week after week after week. So he's definitely a number one receiver. He definitely shuts some people up. Cowboys are going to have to pay him full price. He's not taking no hometown discount. He's not. I think Jerry Jones is going to have to pay him and Michael Parsons. They're going to have to pay him. Jerry Jones is going to have to pay Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb full price, or he probably going to lose one of them. Because other teams are going to pay them, if they hit the free agency or anything like that. So, great game by CeeDee Lamb, though, man. He bought out. Moving on from that, man, we had a great game today. I mean, it wasn't really that great, but this was a tail end for, hey, the MVP is on the line. It's damn near three MVPs in this game, three MVP choices. The one seed is on the line for this week. It was a lot on the line between this game. It went down in Baltimore. Miami traveled all the way to Baltimore, where they won last year after being down 35-14 with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Miami Dolphins came back to win that game. It kind of started off like that again this year. It started off like that. The score at halftime was 28-13. Lamar Jackson had 255 passing yards in the first half with three touchdowns. That sounds like MVP numbers to me. That sounds like an MVP to me. Hear me out. Lamar Jackson was 18 for 21, 321 passing yards, five touchdowns, five passing touchdowns. So he had 18 completions. Out of 21 attempts, he had three incompletions and he had five passing touchdowns. He literally had more passing touchdowns than incompletions. And he also had six carries for 35 yards. So he had over a total of 350 yards total today. 321 of them in the air. And he accounted for five passing touchdowns, making clutch play after clutch play. It was a play on fourth and seven where he kind of scrambled up in the pocket, rolled out to the right and threw a dart to Likely, and Likely caught it with one hand and scored on the same play. Like, that was an MVP moment right there. If he haven't had an MVP moment this year, that was an MVP moment to put the team on your back on a fourth and seven. They went for it. It was on, like, the fringe area. It was probably, like, the area of where – it was probably, like, the 40, 45 area where you don't want to punt it, but you don't want to kick a field goal either. So it kind of kept you in there. But – Lamar Jackson is 26 years old. Let me make sure. Lamar Jackson is 26. He's about to turn 27 January 7th. 26 years old. This performance today just locked down MVP. I don't want to hear nothing else about no MVP talks. We know who getting MVP this year for sure. He just beat the brakes off the 49ers last week and had an MVP performance that game. And he just came back. And hey, Richard Sherman, their defense did have five interceptions today. And he went out there and put up five touchdowns and 321 passing yards. I'm just saying, look real MVP-ish to me. Best player on the field. Every time he step on the field, he's going to be the best player. It's just something to think about. Sherman, my God, man, it's always love. But hear me out. I seen this on Twitter. Somebody posted this, and I thought it was like, damn, this is actually, you know, something to really think about. Lamar Jackson is 26 years old. Lamar Jackson is going to win his second MVP by the age of 26. He will be the only player in NFL history to have two MVPs by that age. Not Manning, not Brady, not Mahomes. Nobody has done it that young. We are watching a living legend. Did y'all hear what I just said? He will be the first player in NFL history to have two MVPs by the age of 26. Nobody else have done that anywhere to that. The closest to do it was Mahomes and Favre, and they was both 27. They were the closest to do it. But they ain't do it. Lamar Jackson has been the MVP all year. I know some people love these numbers, and oh my God, they got 40 touchdowns. It's quarterbacks that have 40 touchdowns that don't make the playoffs. So what do that mean? You feel me? Like, it's guys that, like, some of your top touchdown throwing guys, let's say Jordan Love. Jordan Love can throw for over like 25, 26, 27 touchdowns. They probably not going to make the playoffs. He's a rookie, yeah, but they're probably not gonna make the playoffs. There's guys that's been that's thrown for a lot of touchdowns in previous years, and they haven't made the playoffs. Lamar Jackson is easily the best player on his team. Easily. But they beat them down, man. The Ravens beat the Miami Dolphins down. Miami came out fast, though. The first drive, drove the ball down the field. The first play from scrimmage they had, shit, it was what? Literally the first play from scrimmage, they had like a 24, 25-yard catch and run by Achane. Achane is nice. 28 for the Dolphins. That rookie from Texas A&M, he is a problem. He is a problem. I want to see him stay healthy all of his career because he gives me Jamal Charles vibes. He's balanced. He's fast. He's shifty. And, like, he don't get tired either. He don't be looking like he's tired. He's a weapon. He's definitely a weapon that Miami offense going to love in the future. Yeah, but like I said, the Dolphins came out and drove the ball down in the first possession and got 7 points. So they started fast. Tua started fast. You know, he had hit a couple glance routes, converted some third downs on that first drive, and it looked like the Ravens was kind of hungover. You know, they had a big game on Monday night. They probably didn't get back to Baltimore till damn near 7 in the morning on Tuesday. They had a short week. They played on Sunday at one noon. You feel me? Like, it seemed like it was one of them games at first where they was kind of sluggish. It was a sluggish, slow start. But it was 10-7 in the first quarter. But then that second quarter, the Ravens turned up. They scored 21 points in the second quarter to the Miami 3 points. So Miami scored the first possession of the game. Drove the ball down there, 7 points. They didn't score another touchdown again to the fourth quarter when they threw the ball to Achane on like the 2-yard line. So they literally went damn near, what, 40 minutes without scoring? They literally went 40 minutes without scoring a touchdown this entire game. That's not going to work. You're not going to be able to beat teams when you can't, you know, you 40 minutes, the core of the game, the second and third quarter, you can't score points. You're not going to be able to do that. Not at all. Because when you wasn't scoring no points, the Ravens scored 28 points between the second and the third quarter. Between the second and the third quarter, the Ravens scored 28 points. And the Dolphins scored 3 points. Tua looked kind of, I don't know, man. He looked kind of like a game manager for sure. It's just like I was watching the game, so I wanted to see him. You know, and I ain't got to say he got to push the ball down the field, but there's obvious downs where you have to throw the ball. Especially when you're down by, you know, 10 points, 15 points. You have to throw the ball now. Like, there was times where they was down by 20 points, and they was still running toss plays. They were still throwing screen plays behind the line of scrimmage. It was just quick, like, right now, quick. Everything was quick. Why is it like that? If you a game changer, if you a playmaker, you have to be able to throw the ball, read the defense, throw the ball downfield. You have to be able to open up the defense. Everything ain't going to be timely. Like, then he start throwing picks. Soon as Tua have to really throw the ball down the field, he start throwing picks. He threw like a glance route over the middle of the field. It was like 5-6 Ravens in the middle of the field. And he just kind of like, Tyreek down there somewhere and threw it up. And the safety picked it off. Because it's like you just kind of throwing. And I understand that's the offense that Miami run. They run that timey offense. Everything is beat, 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 beat. But what happens when you miss a beat? What happens when you miss another beat? Can you, if they take away your first and second read, can you find your third read consistently? Can you find your second read consistently? Can you throw players open? Like, the Ravens said, man, all that fast break basketball on grass, that shit, what happens when you get punched right in your mouth? What happens? What happens when you get punched in your mouth? You got to be able to throw the ball down the field. And that's where I feel like the Dolphins lack. They can't throw the ball down the field. Like, you got to be able to throw the ball to win games. You have to. Like, what if you down by 14 in a playoff game? Are you still going to throw the ball, throw screens all day? Like, it was a time in the, I think it was the third quarter, where they were down. The Dolphins were down by like 15, 20, whatever they was down. And the Dolphins had just got the ball. And I'm like, I'm about to sit here and watch how many times the ball is pushed down the field. Because these are obvious throwing plays now. Like, now you have to throw the ball. You have to throw the over route with the dig. You have to throw a smash fade. You have to throw fades. You have to throw post routes, post corners, shake routes. You have to push the ball down the field. They threw two screens, and they ran a toss. And then the last play, Tua had scrambled, and they didn't get the first down. And I was just like, bro, that's Miami in a nutshell right there. That's them in a nutshell. They can't really push the ball down the field. Like, they have to have full control over the game for them to win. They have to play with a lead. Miami, and I don't mean to go on Miami like that, because Miami, my squad, and it's always love there. They drafted me. Respect, all that. But in they big games, they played the Bills. They lost by 28 points. They played the Eagles. They lost by 14 points. This is double digits. The NFL is literally like a – bro, y'all already see the spread. There ain't no spreads like that over, like, 4 or 5 points. There's usually a touchdown difference or less. They losing by double digits. They played the Chiefs. They lost to the Chiefs 21-14. But if you remember that game, the Chiefs was up 21-0 at halftime. So you had to fight their way back to even make it a quality game. Even in the Titans game, they was up 27-13. They were up 27-13 with under 4 minutes left, and they lost that game 28-27. So he couldn't close the game or he couldn't come back. And then they just got beat by 37 points by the Ravens. The Dolphins got two MVP candidates on their team. Everybody keep telling me, Tua and Tariq. Y'all keep telling me that Tua is the best quarterback in the league. He's playing the best football. This Miami offense is this. But what happens when you get punched in the mouth? Like that quote of, bruh, everybody got a plan till they get punched in their shit. Everybody got a plan. All the practice, hey, we going to do this. We going to do that. We going to do this. We going to do that. Hey, when they throw this at us, we going to respond with this. But what happens when you in the ring and you get punched in your shit and you like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? What happens when you in that alley? Because it's cool to talk about the alley when you ain't in there. But what happened when you in the alley? It's cool to talk about what you're going to do or prepare for it, but what happened when you get punched in your shit? Are you still going to – what you going to do? How you going to respond? Miami have not responded to big games yet this year. They have not responded to big games. They have not responded. And they just lost their – potentially lost their best pass rusher in Bradley Chubb. Prayers to him. He went down with a knee injury at the end of the game. Prayers to him for sure. I seen Xavier Howard – went down in the first quarter. Hoping you good, my boy. Hoping you good, my boy, for real. He got carted off. He didn't return to the game. So Miami has lost some guys on that defense. For sure, that defensive end. They lost Jalen Phillips earlier this year. And they lost Bradley Chubb today. So they lost their two best pass rushers this year. So they're going to have to make up for that in the playoffs somehow. It's going to be hard to replace what he has added to that offense. We shall see. But the Ravens, you know, that's what I'm saying. Miami got to show up. They got to show up. This game is on the line for Miami. I'm going to talk about this soon. But this Dolphins-Bills game, potentially a Sunday night football game, Dolphins-Bills for the division, this is for the division. The division title is on the line. And I seen a scenario Nick Wright had just tweeted that if the Bills win, they win a division and they are the 2 seed. But if they lose, they can potentially miss the playoffs, depending on the Colts, the Jaguars, this just depending on some things. The Steelers. It's depending on some things. So the Bills, if they lose, they can potentially miss the playoffs. Because the Steelers probably, they may win this week because I'm sure Lamar Jackson will not play this week. The Ravens has clinched the number one seed. So I'm sure Lamar Jackson probably won't play this week. Probably Odell probably won't play this week. I see he got a little nicked up this week. Give those guys 2 weeks off so they can do their thing. Marlon Humphrey was out today. He had kind of tweaked his calf again. So he was out damn near for like the whole second half and I think a little bit in the second quarter. I think it happened in the second quarter. So he was out. Stevens was out today. It was some injuries going on today. So that first round bye is going to do the Ravens really, really well. And it's going to have to come through the Baltimore. If you're going to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC, it's going to come through Baltimore. And that's a tough place to play at 1 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, or at 8 o'clock. It's a tough, tough, tough place to play at. So I'm excited to see how that turns out. But like I said, man, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP before the age of 27. He been counted out. This was a dude that was just literally team. How many teams? I said this on the previous podcast. There was like eight teams that as soon as they could like talk to him or match the offer sheet, they was like, yeah, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson. We're not signing him. We're not talking to him. Around the free agent, what's his name? The new year, all them teams have started looking. I started just saying that. And now look at him. Got paid MVP this year. And he could potentially go to the Super Bowl and win the MVP in the Super Bowl as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Lamar Jackson will be the first person to do this. If he do this. I don't want to jinx it or nothing like that, but I just want to be the first person to say it. Lamar Jackson would have won the Heisman in college. He won the MVP, two of them in the NFL, won the Super Bowl, and won the Super Bowl MVP. Like, that's a hell of an accomplishment right there. I don't think nobody else have done that. Won the Heisman, won the MVP, and won the Super Bowl MVP. Cam Newton came close, but he didn't win the Super Bowl. So, just something to think about, man. He's kind of in company by himself, man. He has to finish the drill, but that Ravens team look locked in right now for sure, man. So, shout out to Lamar Jackson, man. I think that he sit out next weekend. Two-time MVP coming soon. You already know it. Good game by the Chiefs and the Bengals today. Chiefs won 25-17. I like the Drake Brownie kid. Great job by Zach Taylor. He's haven't had his, quarterback for damn near the last 6, 7, 8 weeks in Joe Burrow. But he's responded pretty well. He got his team, ready to fight. Jake Brownie has had some good games. But when you lose a quarterback like Joe Burrow, you would expect them to lose every single game from there. But they haven't. And they still showed up to play. So shout out to Zach Taylor with that guy going on there. Chiefs. They got to figure it out, man. They won 25-17, but shit, you damn near almost lost on your home field to a backup quarterback again for two weeks in a row. Like, that would have been a first. Like, you just lost to McDonald last week for the Raiders backup quarterback, and you would have lost to Jake Brownie this week too, but it didn't happen. They won the division, and we're going to see how it turns out, man. They're probably going to be the 3 seed. Most likely, they will be the 3 seed. I don't know who they play, but if they do play in the 3 seed, we're going to see. If the playoffs started today, they would have to play the Bills. If the playoffs started today, they play the Bills. I think the Bills win. If the Chiefs play the Browns, I think the Browns got a good chance of upsetting them. The Browns are playing pretty well right now. Like I said, the Browns and the Rams are the two most dangerous wild card teams in the playoffs this year. So I can see them winning both. I can see the Rams and the Browns winning their first round matchup in the playoffs. It just depends on who they play, and we're going to see as the week goes on. But good win for the Chiefs. Pacheco balled out today. He had over 100 yards rushing. Was helpful in the passing game as well. Rasheem Rice balled out. He had 5 catches for 127 yards. Some of the wide receivers still dropping passes. So that's why I say, man, the Chiefs probably can be a one and done this year in the playoffs. It just depends on who they match up with. Moving on from that, Chargers lost to the Broncos. Broncos whole situation, we know how it went. Broncos won 16-9. Two backup quarterbacks playing. I don't think neither one of them teams qualified for the playoffs, so whatever. Moving on from that, Steelers traveled all the way to Seattle and came out with the win. Mason Rudolph making some big-time throws. 18 for 24, 274. Zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. But this was the running game. They literally ran the ball all over the Seahawks. They had 202 rushing yards. Najee Harris had 27 carries, 122 yards, two touchdowns. Warren had 13 carries, 75 yards. Like, that's great right there. They controlled the game. That's how you win on the road. Running game and defense. And they made plays in spots. This is about, Pickens. Pickens been balling lately. But they have a quarterback now that can push the ball and see the ball down the field. And he's been in that. Mason Rudolph has been there for damn near like 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. He's been there for a long time. So he got his chance. He's been playing well. What is he, 2-0 the last two games? Did he start last week, Mason Rudolph? Yep, Mason Rudolph started last week. And Pickens went off last week. Let's see if he played the week before that. Nope, he didn't. He didn't really play that previous game because Trubisky played against the Colts. Pickens been balling, though. He's making a lot of plays this week. Shit, the last week he had 195 receiving yards. And then he followed up that with 131 receiving yards today. Seven catches. Deontay Johnson made some plays. Four catches for 76 yards. Guys making plays, man. Guys making plays. J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt. Wrecking havoc. He didn't have a sack or a TFL or anything today, but I'm sure he was causing chaos in that game for sure. Seahawks, man, what's up? Man, for one of my preseason picks, I had the Seahawks versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I just thought the Seahawks just had the offense. I thought they had the running game. I thought they had a competent defense to, you know, really be able to compete in that division, even though the 49ers is in that division. They ain't really showed up this year, man. They ain't really showed up this year. The Seahawks are 8-8. I think that's a bad year for them. I think that is a bad year for them. Geno Smith, 23 for 33, 290 yards, one touchdown. Metcalf went over. He had 106 yards. Like, guys have numbers, but they just not winning. They just not winning. So is that a quarterback thing? Is that a team thing? I don't know, man. Because you can look at the numbers and be like, oh, well, the numbers was cool. Okay, but did you make timely plays, timely throws, timely first downs on third down? Did you make the clutch plays, or was you just out there kind of just, you know, whatever, man? I just don't know, man. Seahawks, this is a bad loss. It could have kept y'all in the playoff hunt. Y'all are now, let's see, it depends on the Vikings and I don't know. Y'all in the seventh spot right now. We're going to see how all this turn out tomorrow. After all the games are finished, we're going to see how the standings turn out. But, I mean, I'm sure this loss just made it harder for y'all. Like, I know next week is a must win. So, it's like, they just making it hard for themselves, making it tough for themselves, especially losing at home to the Steelers, man. You losing at home to a backup quarterback on his second start this year. You don't want to do that. You do not want to do that. So, Seahawks, man, you got to step it up. Bears, Falcons. Bears won 37-17. Justin Fields is auditioning for his team he's on right now and the other team he just played against. I'm sure Arthur Blank was out there looking like, hold up now. What he got? He's kind of special out here. He's making plays. Justin Fields has been playing really well the back end of this season. Just want to see him start off the season like that. Like, that's why so many questions about Justin Fields. Because some of these games at the end of the year, when you out of the playoffs, there's no expectations for you and you can just kind of play as free. But at the beginning of the year where there's expectation and they need you to win, you don't win. That's what I don't like about some quarterbacks or some teams. You feel me? Like, it's easy to go out there and just play free when you don't have no expectations Nothing really matters. If you win, it don't matter. If you lose, it don't matter. But like I said, them first 6 weeks of the season are pivotal to how it's going to look for you for the rest of the season. He needs to perform well in those weeks and get wins in those weeks. So will he be a Bear next year? Will he be a Falcon? Will he be a Steeler? Will he be a Bronco? We shall see, man. We shall see. Great game by him, though. Rams with another or the good road win. Went into MetLife Stadium, played the Giants, won 26-25. Matthew Stafford looking hot right now. He threw two turnovers. You're not gonna be able to get away with that in the playoffs for sure, especially if you're going on the road. You're not gonna be able to get away with throwing two interceptions. But Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford. Y'all know who he is. Puka Nacua, 5 catches, 118 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, 6 catches, 92 yards. Higby, 6 catches, 62 yards. Cooper Kupp, 4 catches, 27 yards. Man, they look good. This is a dangerous team. That running back, balling. Kyren Williams, 20 carries, 87 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. Balled out. Looking good, man. That offense looking good. So they a sneaky team in the playoffs, man. You got Sean McVay, you got Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald. I wouldn't just mark them off. I wouldn't just bet against them at all. I would not just bet against them. Moving on. Buccaneers could have won the division today, clinched the division today, but they lost to the Saints at home. They lost at their own in their own backyard, 23-13. They probably was a little too comfortable. I don't know. We shall see. But I know next week is going to be big for them. We're going to see who's going to make the playoffs out of the division. I think that division is still open. Let's see. Yep. The Buccaneers are the number one seed right now. The Saints are the number two seed, and the Falcons are the number three seed. But all three of those teams are 3-2 in the division. The Bucs and the Saints are both 8-8. And the Saints just beat the Bucs. So, and I'm sure they got division games this week, this upcoming week. The Buccaneers play the Panthers in Carolina, and the Saints play at home versus the Falcons. So I think both of them will win. The Falcons could spoil it for the Saints. I don't think the Buccaneers will lose to the Panthers, but you never know. So we're going to see how that turns out. But the division is on the line this week as well. So we're going to see how that works. We're going to see how that works. You feel me? Moving on. The Patriots almost upset the Bills. Dan Orlovsky talking all that. Okay, but what if Josh Allen for the last 2 weeks goes out there and scored 10 touchdowns, he's going to be in the MVP race. Josh Allen, 15 for 30, 169 yards. There was a point in the game where he had five passing yards. I think this was in the second quarter. He had 69 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. But he also had 2 fumbles lost. So he had 3 turnovers. By himself. And they almost lost to the Patriots. It was a close game. It was a very close game. Very close game. Like I said, I'm about to talk about the Bills and the Dolphins right after this. Colts beat the Raiders 23-20. Good game by the Colts. They keep themselves alive for this division. This last week is going to be pivotal. Tuned in to see what happens with that one. Great win for them. Jaguars beat the Panthers 26-0. That's all you need to know. Moving on from that. 49ers beat the Commanders 27-10. And this game was a little closer than 27-10, too. At one point in this game, the score was 10-13. At halftime, the score was 10-13. So it was close. But Purdy made plays 22 for 28. 230 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a nice little scramble to the right, spin out of the sack, scramble to the right, throw it across his body, across the field to Brandon Ayuk for the touchdown. That was a great play. That was definitely a great play. I like Brandon Ayuk. He's a baller. Commanders, they about to blow it up. If I'm other teams, I'm probably going to try to go shopping on that Washington team. Well, I've not so much, but I'll probably grab some of them D linemen, though. I will grab somebody off that D-line because they have a lot of guys that probably just need a change of scenery. But we shall see. Texans beat the Titans 26-3. CJ Stroud was back after missing the last 2 weeks. He was 24 for 32, 213 yards, one touchdown. Did his thing. Looked good, efficient, and shit. They obviously the score was 26-3. And the upset of the day goes to Philadelphia. Philly just lost at home to Arizona Cardinals 35-31. Arizona drove the ball down the field at the end of the game and scored a game-winning touchdown. Kyler Murray went on the roll 25 for 31, 232 yards and three touchdowns, one interception. James Conner, 26 carries, 128 yards. They backup running back had seven carries for 61 yards. They literally rushed for 221 yards. Let me just tell you, if you look at the team stats, there's no way you look at these stats and be like, the Eagles was going to win. The Cardinals had the ball for 40 minutes to the Eagles 20. The Cardinals had 449 yards to the Eagles 275. 228 passing yards to the Eagles 184 passing yards. And 100 and Jalen Hurts had 167 of those passing yards. They had 221 rushing yards to the Eagles 91. They had 32 first downs to the Eagles 17. Five penalties to the Eagles 4. Both had one turnover, one sack. The Cardinals had 72 plays to the Eagles 47 plays. I don't know what's going on with the Eagles, but they are breaking apart. Is something going on in that locker room? I just know how things look. You know, they're probably just a little comfortable, man. They won last year. They kind of think they can just start off from where they were last year. They had some games. They was 10-0 at a time. But they were winning ugly, though. They were winning like them wins wasn't going to hold up. Like, there's a disengagement between players in that locker room, the coaching staff, and losing the two coordinators. Losing the offense coordinator to the Colts and offense coordinator to the Cardinals, the Gannon and Scott Steiker. Those were big losses. The Cardinals head coach was the Eagles defense coordinator last year. He just walked into Philly and beat them 35-31. That's a big win for the Cardinals. I'm sure they're feeling good right now. They are a 4-12 now. They was 3-12. That's a big win for them, man. I'm sure they're looking forward to next year and starting fresh with a quarterback and going and signing players, getting a good draft going on, and just ready to attack. The Eagles, that looked bad, man. That looked bad. For to go into halftime 21-6 and then to give up 29 points in the second half, 15 points in the third quarter, and 14 points in the fourth quarter, and you only score 10 in the second half, and you lose by four, that's a bad loss. That's a bad loss. That is a bad loss. Like I said, I don't know what's going on with them, but if they don't get it together, they're going to be out soon. They're going to be out of there. They are going to be out of there. They're not going to win that division. The Cowboys are going to – if the Cowboys win this last game, they win a division. So the Eagles are probably going to be the fifth seed, and they're probably going to play the – they're going to play the winner of that NFC South. Bucks or the Saints probably. And that ain't going to be easy because they a team that's vulnerable right now. They don't really trust each other. Devontae Smith just got hurt. Jalen Hurts is hurt. The defense is you can do anything you want to do on that Eagles defense. You can run the ball. You can pass the ball. You can do whatever you want to do. So, I don't know, man. We're going to see how it goes, man. We're going to see how it goes. But moving on from that, good win for the Cardinals. Moving on from that, man, let's talk about some matchups next week that's going to mean something. That's going to mean something for sure. I'm going to say what games really stand out? It's really just one. This Bills-Dolphins game is for the division, for the two seed. This Bills-Dolphins game is for the two seed. It's in Miami. I'm sure it's probably going to either be a 4 o'clock game or the Sunday night game. It's going to be a big game. The division is on the line. The two spot is on the line. Like I said, if the Bills win, they win the division and they are the two seed. But if they lose, they're going to need some other teams to lose to keep them in the playoffs. So they have to take care of their business. They should be thinking, bro, we got to win no matter what. If the Dolphins lose, they're just, you know, they're going to be a fifth seed. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs for sure. Let me see. The Dolphins are 11-5. The Browns, they either going to be a fifth or a sixth seed because the Browns are 11-5 too. So, yeah, they would be a fifth or a sixth seed, but they will make the playoffs. The Browns, on the other hand, the Bills, on the other hand, they will lose if they don't. So this is going to be a big game, man. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Josh Allen has his trouble in Miami, playing against Miami, especially in Miami. I don't think he's won the last 2 years in Miami. But this game is different. This is a playoff game right now for both teams. They're playing for the two spot. Josh Allen is going to have to take over this game. If he want to win, if he's that guy that the world claim he is, and I think he is that guy. Like, I've been on my little, you know, sometimes he throw the ball randomly and weirdly, but he can play. He can ball. He's a top five quarterback in the league for sure. He's a game changer. But, you know, sometimes he throw the ball to the other team. It's okay, but he's a game changer. He has to take over this game for them to win. Him, James Cook, Stephon Diggs, they got to show up. Bradley Chubb being out, Phillips being out. We don't know the verdict on Xavier Howard. There are some holes in that Miami's defense. You know, they still have Ramsey, which is a baller. They have Javon Holland back. He came back today. He's a baller. They have some guys for sure on defense, but going against that machine in Buffalo with the running back, James Cook, first 1,000-yard rusher in Buffalo since, 2000, I think, 13, 14, they said. You feel me? They ain't had a 1,000-yard rusher in years. So, got him back, feed him. You got Lamar. I mean, not Lamar, I'm tripping. You got Josh Allen. They have to win in Miami. But what you going to do, Miami? You fighting for home field advantage right now. You fighting for home field advantage. Tua, what you going to do? Tariq Hill, what you going to do? Mostert, Achane, what y'all going to do? Because y'all an offensive team now. Y'all have to score. Y'all the number one offense in the league. And now losing the guys that y'all lost on defense, y'all really got to score more points now. Y'all going to have to score more points because you can't replace a Bradley Chubb. If X out, you can't replace Xavier Howard. This is a guy that I think leads the league in interceptions since 2016, 2017. He literally leads the league in interceptions. You can't replace that wisdom, that experience, that playmaking ability out there at corner. You can't. So you have to score points. Tua's going to have to outdo Josh Allen for them to win this game. This is going to be a big game, a big game. I'm excited to see how it goes, how it turns out. It's going to be a great game, man. So some of the key factors in this game, I would say first down for sure. Who wins first down? Who is going to win first down? Because if the Dolphins got to win first down because it keeps their play calling consistently. They can call the plays they need to call. Josh Allen, if they win the first down, that means they're running the ball. That means the running game is going. And if the running game going, then the passing game is going to go. And if the passing game go, then Josh Allen's going to go even more because he can pull the ball down and run as well. Or he can scramble, throw the ball to Diggs or to Gabe Davis, to Kincaid, whoever. Even to James Cook. We've seen him make one-hand catches, touchdown catches, whatever. We've seen it. So I would say first down is the key to this game. Who's going to win first down? Them second and tens, you can't have that. You can't lose yards on first down. You can't go second and ten. You have to win first down. Drive starters, P and tens, first and tens. You have to have a plan. You just have to, man. You just have to. This is going to be a big game. I'm excited to see the Sean McDermott, Mike McDaniel chess matchup between the two. And we're going to see how it turns out, man. Big game next week, though. The division on the line. Playoffs is on the line. A lot is on the line on this game. I'm excited to see it. So, right now, the game, Sunday Night Football is about to start. You have the Packers and the Vikings in Minnesota. I think I picked the Packers to win. I don't know. The Vikings are starting a rookie quarterback. And you got Jordan Love. I mean, I would like to see Jordan Love in the playoffs in his first year. I would like to see that. He's playing really well. The young wide receivers playing well. Jaden Reed. All the guys, they playing well. So that's why I picked the Packers. We're going to see how that turns out. But that's all I got for y'all, man. Happy New Year. This is my last episode of 2023. Big things is coming in 2024. I'm telling you, stay with me. Stay with the Speak on the Podcast, man, because we turned 2024. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be some new additions. I got something up my sleeve. You feel what I'm saying? So, rock with me. If you have listened to the episode this year, man, I appreciate you. Happy New Year. Peace and love to everybody. Y'all enjoy y'all night. Be safe. See y'all in the new year. You dig what I'm saying? Speak on the Podcast. Lip out.